Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity you have given to us this morning. We are grateful to you that you are the God who speaks. You are not the God who is like the idols of the nations. You are mute, who don't have life in them. But you are the living God. And that's the reason the Bible says that you are the living God. Because you are the God who lives. You are the God who is active. You are the God who speaks. And we welcome the ministry of the Holy Spirit this morning in the midst of us. Although we are listening online with so much vulnerability for distractions, we pray that may we be filled with reverence towards your word. May our minds pay attention to your word. May our ears hearken your word. And we pray that your spirit would work in our hearts as we listen to your word. And I pray that you fill me with the Holy Spirit as I speak forth your word. And fill all those who are listening with thy Holy Spirit, that they may come under the power and authority and dominion of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we pray for our church, which you bought by your blood, Jesus, that you make Ecclesia Evangelical Fellowship, all the members, spirit-filled believers, may we not be self-centered, egotistic, individualistic, and led by flesh. May we be church that is filled with the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, keep in step with the Holy Spirit, walk by the Spirit. Oh, we pray that you please do guide us in this matter. We thank you for this opportunity to listen to your word. Please do take complete control of what is going to happen now, and let Christ be supreme, and let our hearts be edified. In the name of our beloved Savior, who died for our sins, rose from the dead, and who is coming again to take his church to be with him forever, we offer this prayer with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. As you see, the title that I have given for this message is Marks of Spirit-Filled Believers. And I have taken the exposition from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 to 21. Today, I would be covering two factors, and the next Sunday, I will be covering five factors. So this message is divided into two parts so that we would have a solid comprehension of what this passage is speaking about. Let me read this for you. And if you can, please do read along with me as I read this passage from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, from verse 18 to 21. Ephesians, chapter 5, 18 to 21. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is one of the most powerful passages that speaks to the church about how to live a spirit-filled life. Let me introduce about this passage. And we know that this letter was written by Paul to the believers in Ephesus. This letter was not written to us directly. So it's important what it meant to them in order for us to consider how it applies to us. So Paul planted this church in Ephesus on his second missionary journey, and we see that in the book of Acts. After he ministered in Corinth, he goes to Ephesus, and there the church was planted. And that is one of the most powerful churches in the early history. And Ephesians is said to be one of the solid, mature, meaty letter written to the church. And this is also written for us today for our encouragement. And interestingly, this letter Paul wrote from prison while he was imprisoned in Rome. And he wrote this to Ephesians, a church comprised of both Jews and Gentile believers. And when we look at the content of the letter, it seems to us that this was primarily written to ex-pagan Christians, which means these were idolaters, some of them sexually immoral, lived a life of debauchery. And these people were converted by the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul wrote this letter primarily to these ex-pagan Christians, teaching them about two important factors. One is what their position is in Christ, And that's what we see from chapters 1 to 3, and also prescribing them, giving them prescriptions about how to live their Christian life in this fallen world. And that's what we are looking at today. In chapter 5, Paul is prescribing to these believers about how to live their Christian life in this fallen world. And we too, as believers bought by the blood of Christ, are living in this fallen world, every day fighting with what the world is tempting us. And this message and this passage is so important to us as it was for them. When we look at chapter 5, where we see 18 to 21, in the whole chapter 5, Paul gave a couple of negative and positive commands. For example, in verse 4, we see, "Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place." You see the negative command, "Let this not be there." And also we'll see the positive command, "But instead, let there be thanksgiving." And then in verse 11, we see the negative and positive. "Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness," which is negative, "but instead expose them," which is a positive command. And then we see in verse 15, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise," which is a negative command, "but as wise," which is a positive command. And in verse 17, "Therefore, do not be foolish," which is a negative command, "but understand what the will of the Lord is," which is the positive command. And then we come to our actual passage today in verse 18. "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." But be filled with the Spirit. Now we see in this verse 18, today we will be dwelling on only verse 18. Dig deeper into this verse so that we can get a solid understanding and see how it applies to us. In this verse, we see both the negative and the positive command. And what is the negative command here? The negative command is, "And do not get drunk with wine." Drunk with wine speaks about overindulgence with wine, or drinking to such an extent that you become drunk. Drinking wine to an excess. What happens when you do that? Paul says that there is consequence when you drink wine to an excess, and that is you will fall into debauchery. Now, debauchery is not a common used word today. It means wild and undisciplined life. You see all the drunkards, all those who are drunken with alcohol, you see that these people's lives are marked with wild and undisciplined life. And that's what Paul says to believers. Now, you need to understand that in the early church, these believers were tempted to drunkenness. Today, we have different temptations in the churches today. And Paul warns them, don't do that. So this should speak to us that believers are not those who are holy and perfect all the time. They too may fall in sin. They too are immune to the temptations of the world, because of which Paul says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. You know, there are three things we understand when a person is drunk. A drunken person is filled with wine, filled with alcohol. And what happens? A drunken person is under the intoxication of wine. You know, all those who are drunken, the way they speak, some people shout when they are drunken. And I see some people who are very loving. When they are drunken, they speak very courteously, lovingly, politely, and they are under the intoxication of wine. When we say what is intoxication, it means you will be under the powerful influence of the wine, alcohol. No control over himself. You know, some people lie on the roads and fall on the streets, which is a very sad thing. And also, because of this being filled with wine, because of living under the intoxication of wine, a drunken person will live a wild and undisciplined life. And the effects are obvious. You know, when a person is drunken, the effects are very obvious. The way they speak, the way they walk, the way they make decisions, the way they behave, the way their lifestyle is very wild and undisciplined. You know, before I became a Christian, I was addicted to smoking. And during my time, actually, alcohol was banned by N.T. Rama Rao. So we had no great privilege of, you know, having alcohol, because for a couple of years it was banned. And we as friends were really struggling to get alcohol. I remember once in my pre-conversion state, I got drunk with alcohol with my friends to such an extent that I fell unconscious on the road in BHL. And I don't know how I came back home. And I remember that it is after about 24 hours, I woke up and came back to my senses. I lived a wild and undisciplined life, uncontrollable. People cannot tame me because I was given to alcohol. And Paul also gives a positive exhortation here. Do not get drunk with wine, because that leads to debauchery. And he gives a positive exhortation here. What does he say? But be filled with the Spirit. In contrast to a person who is drunken, a Spirit-filled believer is filled with the Holy Spirit, while a drunken person is filled with wine and alcohol. A Spirit-filled believer is under the control of the Holy Spirit, which is, if you look at the drunken person, he loses control over himself, but a Spirit-filled believer has control over himself. He practices self-control, which is a very important factor. And also, we saw that a drunken person lives a wild and undisciplined life, but a Spirit-filled believer will live a wise and disciplined life. And the effects are obvious. We see the influence, how wise he lives, how disciplined he lives. Why? Because he is under the influence of the Holy Spirit. You know, as we dig into this, what is interesting when Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you look at the whole book of Ephesians, we see that Paul is speaking about the church being full of Trinity. For example, we see in Ephesians 3:19, Paul says that, church, you may be filled with all the fullness of God. He speaks about God the Father. And then in Ephesians 1:23, he says, church is the fullness of Christ. You see the second person of the Trinity. And then in chapter 5, verse 18, he says that church to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you see that? 3:19, fullness of God the Father. 1:23, fullness of Christ. And 5:18, be filled with the Holy Spirit. A Christ-centered church will be the Spirit-filled church. And a Spirit-filled church will be full of God, full of Christ at the same time. Because the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are of equal divine essence. So today we will be looking at two factors about being filled with the Holy Spirit. How can we be filled with the Holy Spirit? What are the marks of Spirit-filled believers? Let's look at it. The first thing that I would like to enlighten you is that Spirit-filled believers are first indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We need to understand there is a difference between being indwelt by the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. A person can be indwelt by the Holy Spirit and yet not be filled with the Holy Spirit, because of which Paul exhorts in 5:18, be filled with the Holy Spirit. But a Spirit-filled believer will certainly be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Before we read, or before Paul wrote Ephesians 5:18, and we all need to understand that when Paul wrote, he did not write chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3, and then chapter 2, verse 1, 2, 3, 3. That's not how he wrote. It is a complete letter. It was later codification was done, which means the letter was divided into chapters and verses for our comprehension. So before he wrote chapter 5, verse 18, Paul wrote chapter 1, and in verses 13 to 14, this is what Paul writes. Now, in order for us to understand 5:18, we need to understand 13:14 also in chapter 1. And this is what Paul writes. In him also, which is in Christ, you also, when you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Do you see this here, people? Now, we need to understand that these Ephesian believers first heard the gospel of truths. They heard about the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of the sins of people. They heard it, and they did not just hear it or heard it. They believed in that. They were not passive. You know, a lot of people keep hearing, especially the children. They keep hearing the gospel. They keep listening to the gospel of salvation, but they are passive. They don't believe in the gospel. You need to understand that hearing The gospel will not save you. You need to believe in the gospel. You need to be proactive. Respond to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So these believers heard the gospel. They believed in the gospel. And once they believed in the gospel, they were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Now you need to understand that when people are born again, they don't ask, "Oh Lord, you fill me with the Holy Spirit." That is the consequence of believing in the gospel. When you believe in the gospel, even though you don't ask, God will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He will send His Holy Spirit to dwell in you when you believe in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what sealed means. Sealed means that He has baptized you. He has sent His Holy Spirit to dwell in you. Now we need to understand here that the Holy Spirit regenerates us before conversion. That is, if you were convicted of your sins, if you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is because the Holy Spirit regenerated you, which means He caused you to be born again. Without Holy Spirit, no one will be born again. Without Holy Spirit, no one will be convicted of their sins. Without Holy Spirit, no one will say Jesus is Lord. Without Holy Spirit, no one will believe in the gospel of truths. The Holy Spirit regenerates us before conversion. Not only that, when we are converted, the Holy Spirit indwells us after conversion. When we repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells us. And Paul continues to say that after you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, and why this Holy Spirit was given? Paul writes that you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. Which means we are sealed with the Holy Spirit forever. We will never lose the Holy Spirit. We will never lose salvation. Why? Because one of the reasons Holy Spirit was given is for guaranteed inheritance. You are saved. You will become, you are heirs of the kingdom of God. And what is the guarantee of that? The Holy Spirit in you. You know, one of the songs we sing from the Old Testament, from Psalm 51, which is a different, dispensation in the Old Testament. But people still sing today. Yeah? What do we sing? Even I have sung for a long time. What is the song? "Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." People, that doesn't apply to New Testament believers. "And take not thy Holy Spirit from me." That may be in the Old Testament because the dispensation of the Old Testament is different. But now in the New Testament, God will not take Holy Spirit away from us. We don't have to sing that phrase, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me," because it doesn't apply to New Testament believers. It says very clearly here that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, and it's a guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, which means we are sealed with the Holy Spirit forever, and the Holy Spirit will not be taken away from us. And we don't have to sing that. So who is a believer? According to Ephesians 1:13-14, a believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. If anyone doesn't have the Holy Spirit in them, they are not believers. If you are a believer, you need to understand you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And that's the reason Paul gave this question to Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19. He says that, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God?" Which means, do you not know that Spirit of God is living in you? You are the Holy of Holies. You are the temple of God. In the Old Testament, people had a physical structure as the temple. And today also a lot of religions have physical temple. They have to go to the temple. But in the New Testament, believers are the sanctuary of God. Believers are the temple of God. The church building is not the temple. The church building is not the sanctuary. We are the sanctuary. We are the temple of the living God. And to the same believers indwelt by the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 1:13-14, Paul writes in Ephesians 5:18, "Be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. What we understand is from this passage is that there are two experiences of a Christian. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, which happens when we are born again, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Martin Lloyd Jones was one of the great expositor preachers of the past century. And you need to learn something about him, because I quote him a lot in this message. He had a great influence on my life, in my preaching, in my Christian life. And he was a Westminster pastor for many years. And God has used him to revive the atmosphere, the habit, and the pattern of expository preaching. And when I looked at his sermons, you can go to Google and look at his sermons. People, do you know that? He preached more than 230 sermons only from the book of Ephesians. Wow. Can you believe that? There is an app called MLJ Sermons. You can download it from Google Play Store. And you just go to Ephesians and see how many sermons he preached. He preached more than, I remember, 230 sermons only from the book of Ephesians. I don't know how many years he spent. When he preached actually the book of Romans, he preached for 12 years. More than 300 sermons from the book of Romans. He was a solid Bible teacher and preacher. And you know what is an interesting thing? He was a medical doctor, and he didn't go to any seminary. He didn't go to Bible college. He was a self-taught theologian who studied the Bible, who studied the books, equipped himself by the grace of God, and he became a solid expository preacher. And today, academic theologians, Bible scholars quote him. The reason I tell you, brothers, is that you don't have to go to a Bible college to become a theologian. If you have the discipline of study, you can become like Dr. Martin Lloyd Jones, who had a great medical career, but he gave it up to become an expository preacher. And he says here that the first point that we have to get clear in our minds is that to be filled with the Spirit is not the same as being sealed with the Spirit, which I would regard as synonymous with being baptized with the Spirit. So we need to understand here that there is a difference between baptism, indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Of course, when you look at Acts 2, it mentions that all those who were baptized with the Holy Spirit were filled with the Holy Spirit. But in Ephesians 5:18, when Paul used the phrase, be filled with the Holy Spirit, it is different from baptism of the Holy Spirit. To give you a quick, brief difference between the baptism of the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit, just look at here so that you can understand. Baptism with the Holy Spirit is a one-time experience. Okay, it is a one-time experience which happens at the time when you are born again. But being filled with the Holy Spirit is a continuous state. Every day we need to experience that. Baptism of the Holy Spirit happens at the time of justification. When God declares you righteous through faith in the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are baptized with the Holy Spirit. But being filled with the Holy Spirit happens in sanctification. When you keep growing in Christian life, we need the filling of the Holy Spirit for our sanctification. In fact, no one can be sanctified without being filled with the Holy Spirit. And baptism of the Holy Spirit is given for security. That's what we see in Ephesians 1:13-14. For our guaranteed inheritance, God sealed us with the Holy Spirit. But being filled with the Holy Spirit is for our maturity. Now listen to this carefully, brothers and sisters. No one can grow towards spiritual maturity without being filled with the Holy Spirit. So if you aspire for maturity, you need to understand what spirit-filled life is. You need to understand what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you need to pursue to live a spirit-filled life. One of the reasons why so many people in the church today are not spirit-filled, are not mature, it is because they are not filled with the Holy Spirit. So my conclusion from the first factor is that you cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit without first being indwelled by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit cannot indwell you without believing in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So here is my question to you people. Have you believed in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Is the Holy Spirit dwelling in you? And if there is anyone here who is listening to this message, and if you have not repented and believed in the death and the resurrection of Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit is not in you. And I invite you at this time to believe in Jesus who died for your sins and rose from the dead so that the Holy Spirit would come and indwell you. Now this brings us to the second factor. From Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18. And we will spend a considerable time here because this is very important. The first is we have learned that the Spirit-filled believers are first indwelled by the Holy Spirit. And secondly, and I also told you that a person can be indwelled by the Holy Spirit and yet not be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's why we all need to aspire. And I'm telling you that after, as I was preparing this message, I saw that I was not very serious in living a Spirit-filled life. And I became so conscious, so eager, and my life has changed, my dear brothers and sisters, through this message. So that I can live a spiritful life. And I became more sensitive to this aspect of spiritual life. And I believe that you would become sensitive too after you listen to this message. The second factor is that spiritual believers live in the state of complete control of their lives by the Holy Spirit. Spirit-filled believers live in the state of complete control of their lives by the Holy Spirit. And that's what we will look at. Now, let's see the statement here. People, you need to understand that. If you want to understand the Bible, you need to know grammar. People think that you don't have to know grammar. You can simply read the Bible and understand. If Bible makes sense to you, it is because it was written grammatically in accuracy. If there is no grammatical accuracy, you cannot understand the Bible. And God used the grammar to speak to the church. And you need to understand grammar if you want to interpret the Bible accurately, rightly. Because we believe in grammatical, historical, contextual interpretation, which is very important. Now you see how the grammar will really help you here, right? And grammar is Spirit-filled people, which means God, the Spirit, uses grammar to speak to us. Now, when the statement is used, be filled with the Holy Spirit, it is in present, passive, imperative. Okay? Now, let me explain what it means. The grammar, the full sentence is in present, continuous tense. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, which means you can even say that be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. It is not something one-time experience. Do you understand that? It is not one-time experience. It is not something that you experienced in the past. It is something that you have to continuously experience. It is something in which you have to continuously live. The whole statement is in present tense, continuous action, habitual practice as one's lifestyle. So if you want to live a spiritual life, every day, every moment, we need to seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because Paul says in present continuous tense. And not only that, I love what John Stott said. John Stott was a late theologian who passed away a few years ago. He said that we have been sealed with the Spirit once and for all. But we need to be filled with the Spirit and go on being filled with every day and every moment of the day. Do you see that here? We were sealed with the Holy Spirit once and for all, but we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When? Every day. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Every moment of the day, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do we seek the Spirit-filled life, people, every moment of the day, every day? One of the reasons why we are often led by flesh, often live in flesh, is because we are not seeking to live a spiritual life. And may God revive you today as you listen to the message to seek to live a spiritual life. It is not only written in present continuous tense, but the voice is passive, people. It doesn't say the Holy Spirit will fill you. It says, now it doesn't say that you fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. It says be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled means, now let me teach you some grammar here. In passive voice, you do the receiving. You receive the action. In the active voice, you do the action. That's what the grammar teaches us. In the active, you do the action. In the passive, you receive the action. So when Paul is telling, be filled, it is in passive voice, which means you receive the action. What does it mean? You cannot fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. Do you understand, people? You cannot fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. And let me also tell you, no one can fill you with the Holy Spirit. If anyone says, come to me, I will have a service for you and I will fill you with the Holy Spirit, that's a lie. No man can fill you with the Holy Spirit. That's what we see in some churches. That's what we see in some seminars. They think that they can fill people with the Holy Spirit. No. No one can fill you with the Holy Spirit. You cannot fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. It is only the sole work of the Holy Spirit. Your job is only one thing. When Paul is telling be filled, it means allow the Holy Spirit to fill you with himself. My dear brothers and sisters, you know what is one of the great longing of the Holy Spirit? He wants to fill you with himself. This is the will of the Almighty God, that you be filled with the Holy Spirit. And God answers our prayers when we pray according to the will of God. It is a longing of God. It is a desire of God. It is a will of God to fill every child of his with the Holy Spirit. More than you long for, more than you pray for, more than you desire for. God wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells that, be filled, allow the Holy Spirit to fill you. You only do the receiving and God does the action. That's why it is written in passive voice. It is not even written in passive voice. It is in imperative mood, which is very interesting. On one side it is in passive voice, but again it is in imperative mood. What is indicative and imperative? We were teaching you, the pastoral interns, about this two important things. Indicative points out to something. It doesn't command you. That's an indicative mood. Imperative mood is making a command. Now understand this, people. When Paul wrote, be filled with the Holy Spirit, it is a command. Just as it is important for you not to lie, not to sleep with other men and women, not to commit adultery, not to worship idols. So many things we know that this is a command. But many Christians don't see be filled with the Holy Spirit as a command. It is a command to all Christians. It is the duty of all Christians to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now listen carefully. When Paul gave this command, he gave this command to the entire church. He didn't give this command to elders. He didn't give this command to deacons. It is not reserved for a few elite Christians. You know, a lot of believers think that men of God, they are filled with the Holy Spirit. Evangelists, they are filled with the Holy Spirit. Pastors, they are filled with the Holy Spirit. Bible teachers, they are filled with the Holy Spirit. I am an ordinary Christian. I work as a teacher. I work as a mechanic. I am a software engineer. I am a housewife. I am a student. I am not into ministry. People, when Paul said be filled with the Holy Spirit, it is not essentially for ministry. It is for Christian life. Your ministry will be born out of Christian life. And this command is given to every Christian, every child of God. It is not reserved for few elite group of people in the church or in Christianity. Every Christian should be filled with the Holy Spirit. To be a Christian is to live a spirit-filled life. It is not simply praying, studying the Bible. Every Christian should be filled with the Holy Spirit. To live a Christian life is to live a spirit-filled life. People, let me tell you something over here. There is no option to live a non-spirit-filled life. That option is not given to anyone in the church. No one can say that I cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit. You must be an unbeliever to say that. You must be an unbeliever not to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But if you are a believer, you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. There is no option to live a non-spirit-filled life. John Stott says here, the fullness of the Holy Spirit is emphatically not a privilege reserved for some, but a duty resting on all. It is not reserved for some few people or for people in the ministry. Every Christian, whether you are a child or a teenage or a young adult or a middle-aged or an old person, if you are a Christian, it is resting on you, it is obligation to you that you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now people, listen to this carefully. If you say that, oh brother, I'm not living a spirit-filled life, do you know what is the opposite of not being filled with the Holy Spirit? You know what you are doing and I am doing? Ephesians 4:30. In the previous chapter, Paul says that, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. People, listen to this carefully. I'm making a very important statement. You are either filled with the Holy Spirit and live a spiritual life, or you are not filled with the Holy Spirit and living a spirit-grieving life. The people who grieve the Holy Spirit as those who are not filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they are not controlling the Holy Spirit. They live by flesh. And when they live by flesh, they grieve the Holy Spirit. But people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, they please the Holy Spirit. They bring delight to the heart of the Holy Spirit. They see that the Holy Spirit takes great joy and rejoices in them. Why? Because they live under the dominion and the authority of the Holy Spirit. If you are not living a spirit-filled life, I tell you that you are living a spirit-grieving life. And let us stop living this spirit-grieving life. Let us all seek to live a spirit-filled life. And people, listen to this. It is impossible to live Christian life without being filled with the Holy Spirit. If you read the Bible, if you read the words of the Lord Jesus, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. If you read the words of Jesus that says that narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, but broad is the way that leads to destruction. When you read the Holy Spirit, that Christian life is a holy, when you read the Holy Scripture speaking that Christian life is a life of suffering, you have to die to self. You have to love others. You have to endure suffering. You have to overcome temptations. When you read all these things, how do you think we live such a glorious Christian life? We cannot live, people. It is not in your knowledge, it is not in your skill, it is not in your ability, it is not in your flesh to live the Christian life. And that's the reason God has sent his beloved Holy Spirit into us, that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit and that we would live the Christian life. It is impossible to live Christian life without being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's the reason we have been commanded, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So although the passive voice speaks about you cannot fill yourself with the Holy Spirit, it is the Holy Spirit who fills you with himself. The command shows that you must actively seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You cannot be passive. The command provokes you. The command activates you. The command makes you feel responsible to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why do you think so many in the church today are not filled with the Holy Spirit? Why? Because they are not obeying the command. Because they are not actively seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now that the question comes to us, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? There is a lot of misconceptions regarding being filled with the Holy Spirit. So let me take you to first look at what it is not. What it is not. Listen carefully. I would like to share three things and then explain to you what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now listen carefully. A lot of people have this misunderstanding. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not receiving him progressively in degrees. You know, some people say, you know, I receive the Holy Spirit partially. What do you mean? Holy Spirit is not a water. He is not a liquid. He is not a thing to receive him partially. The Bible tells that the Holy Spirit is a person. God is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. Now listen carefully. You read the Bible carefully. Nowhere do you see the pronoun of the Holy Spirit is used, it. You know, so many people use it today when they talk about the Holy Spirit. In Telugu they say, adi vachindi, idi vachindi. Not do. People, the Holy Spirit is a person. He is not a liquid. You don't receive him progressively by degrees, in portions. You either have him fully or you don't have him at all. Do you understand? Do you either have the Holy Spirit fully as a person in you or you do not have him at all? But don't treat him like a liquid. You know, Martin Lloyd Jones makes a beautiful statement. Now listen carefully. The way he explains here, I love the way he describes. Martin Lloyd Jones states that so many seem to talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit as if the Holy Spirit were some kind of liquid. They talk about having an empty vessel, an empty jug, and having the Spirit poured in. That is entirely wrong, because it forgets that the Holy Spirit is a person. He is not a substance. He is not a liquid. He is not a power like electricity. We even tend to refer to the Holy Spirit as it, forgetting that the Holy Spirit is a third person in the blessed Holy Trinity. But if that is so, why does the Bible use these terms poured out, shed forth, and so on? So Martin Lloyd-Jones is telling that if the Holy Spirit is a person, then why the language is used like be filled with the Holy Spirit? God poured out his Holy Spirit. Why? Martin Lloyd-Jones says that these are but figures, which means figurative language. It is a figurative language. Don't take it literally. These are but terms and expressions used in order to put the truth to us in a vivid way, in order that we may realize the variations in the strength of the personal influence and power. When the Bible is using be filled with the Holy Spirit, it means come under the personal influence and power. Not that Holy Spirit is a liquid and you receive him in doses, in portions, the first dose of coronavirus vaccination. The second dose will come later. Please don't treat the Holy Spirit like liquid. You know, the second thing we need to understand about what it doesn't mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a very important thing. The filling of the Holy Spirit is not a mere dramatic emotional experience. You know, a lot of people, when they talk about experiencing the filling of the Holy Spirit, you know when they experience? It is only in the time of worship when there is a beautiful music. As if Holy Spirit is only confined to worship services and also to music. And they feel the goosebumps. And they feel something emotionally, some enlightening and something like that. And they think that that's the filling of the Holy Spirit. People, yeah, that may happen at times. I'm not denying that. But that's not what it means. Are you understanding? When Paul is telling filled with the Holy Spirit, he's not talking about dramatic emotional experience. He's not even speaking about behaving out of control. You know, when I was born again, I grew up in churches where spirit-filled means people clap like this, out of control. And they think that that's the filling of the Holy Spirit. Or they fall on the ground and roll. And some people bark like dogs. Some people vomit. People behave uncontrollably. And they think that that's the Holy Spirit. You know, I was living, before I shifted, I was living in Arsipuram and there was a church over there near the graveyard. If you happen to pass through the church when they were having some service, you can think about these people are, someone has died actually. The way they shouted, made noises, it scared even the unbelievers. Out of control behavior, that's not being filled with the Holy Spirit. Those are all actually psychology, emotional manipulation. When the Spirit comes, a person will be in self-control, not behaving out of control. Today, there is so much of misconception about that. Again, to quote Martin Lloyd-Jones, listen to this, what he says. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not some critical experience. When he says critical means some emotional critical experience. And therefore, it is not to be sought as a blessing. Now listen carefully. Some of you have done this. I have done this in my early Christian life. There are many people who go around from meeting to meeting seeking, hoping to get the blessing of being filled with the Holy Spirit. They are sometimes invited to come forward at the end of a meeting to receive the fullness of the Spirit. But surely that is due to utter violence to the language used here and to the whole analogy of the teaching of the Scripture. This is not a critical experience. This is a state or a condition in which we are to live always, permanently. This is how you always ought to be, says the apostle. And he commands us to be like this. You know, some people have, these days it has become a fashion to have anointing services. And what do you do in the anointing services? You go there, you fast and pray, and this man of God will pray for you, and you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And these people go from meeting to meeting. How immature. How weird is that? Nowhere do you see apostles doing that, having anointing services. Paul commands from the prison. He didn't go to the Ephesians church and say that, now all of you, come in a line, I'm holding anointing services and I will pray that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul knows that he cannot do that. I'm not, of course, in the initial stage, in the presence of the apostles, God baptized people with the Holy Spirit. But being filled with the Holy Spirit, no one prayed actually to be filled with the Holy Spirit in this sense. Paul wrote this from prison to the church in Ephesus, saying that you be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is in you. And when you allow Him, He fills you with Himself. There is no need of a man of God laying His hand on you and pray that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Stop behaving childish way. Stop behaving immature. You don't have to run here and there. And that's what Martin Lloyd-Jones says, that it is a condition. You know, people, do you understand the difference between condition? Let me give you an example so that it would make sense. Suppose one of you say that, brother, I'm not loving my wife. And then I will say that, okay, let me have a service of loving your wives. Okay? All the husbands who don't love your wives, come and stand in the line. And I will pray for you that you will be filled with the love of God to love your wife. Does anyone do that? No one does it, right? No one does that. Why? Because loving your wife is not an emotional ecstasy. It is not a feeling. What is loving your wife? Loving your wife is a lifestyle. It is a condition in which someone has to always live. You don't find anyone having loving your wife anointed services. Come to the service, I will pray for you, and you will go and love your wife. No one does that because that's a lifestyle. Now people, listen to this carefully. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is similar. People have started to play games with this Holy Spirit, who is the God who gave a serious commands to us. They think that they are in control of having services and meetings and people will be filled with the Holy Spirit. No, those are all things we should not believe and not be misled by that. Now let me tell you also the third point here. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not about speaking in tongues. There are people who think that, oh, those who speak in tongues, they are filled with the Holy Spirit. I remember actually when I became a new Christian, I remember taking a booklet about how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that author was explaining Ephesians 5:18. And in that book, he was saying that when Paul said Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Holy Spirit, he's saying speak in tongues. Now read the passage there. There is nothing mentioned about speaking in tongues. In fact, if you understand the next Sunday message, what is the effect of being filled with the Holy Spirit? You will be surprised actually. Now listen carefully. I have seen people who speak in tongues yet not being filled with the Holy Spirit because their lifestyle is very different from what Ephesians 5 is speaking about. They are not filled with the Holy Spirit. They speak in tongues and they think that they are spirit-filled people. Others think that they are spirit-filled people, but they are not. If you examine them by the word of God. And there are people I have seen who do not speak in tongues and they are full of the Holy Spirit. I know beautiful women. I know beautiful men who don't speak in tongues at all and they are filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not about speaking in tongues. You know, I was looking at the AG statement, Assemblies of God official statement. This is what it says. Is tongues the only evidence of the filling of the Holy Spirit? This is the official statement. According to the Assemblies of God, if a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, he will speak in tongues. According to the official statement of Assemblies of God, if you don't speak in tongues, you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. The first sign of the infilling of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. This is the one physical sign that is consistent in its occurrence. And that's why so many people think that speaking in tongues is a great, achievable, remarkable thing in their lives. Without understanding that when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, that's not what Paul meant actually. Martin Lloyd-Jones speaks about this very carefully. Now he uses baptism in the Holy Spirit in a different sense here. Now listen carefully what he says here. In the first place, speaking in tongues is not the invariable accompaniment of the baptism of the Spirit. I put it like that because there is teaching which has been current for a number of years and still is today, which says that speaking in tongues is always the initial evidence of the baptism with the Spirit. It therefore goes on to say that unless you have spoken in tongues, you have not been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now that, I suggest, is entirely wrong. That is not the teaching from the Bible. Anyone who says that unless you speak in tongues, you are not filled with the Holy Spirit is wrong. It is not biblical. Nowhere it says that. In fact, Martin Lloyd-Jones goes on quoting some of the great revivals in the history of the world. Reformation, Martin Luther did not speak in tongues. John Calvin did not speak in tongues. Jonathan Edwards did not speak in tongues. William Carey did not speak in tongues. Charles Spurgeon did not speak in tongues. John Wesley did not speak in tongues. George Whitefield did not speak in tongues. And these were men who were filled with the Holy Spirit, and God used them to shake the world. Of course, the apostles and other believers did speak in tongues when they were baptized with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Yeah, they spoke. That's what we see in the last time, that how God gave that as an initial sign. And these tongues were known tongues, not tongues which people did not understand. People were amazed that all of them heard them speaking in their own mother tongue languages. But in Ephesians 5:18, when Paul said, be filled with the Holy Spirit, that is not what he intended. So what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? It brings us to the question, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Now listen carefully. In the book of Acts especially, the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit is mentioned essentially in two ways. Okay? Only for the first time, when it comes to Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10, it says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit, especially in Acts chapter 2, they were filled with the Holy Spirit because that was the initial inauguration. But later we see that it is used in two senses. Now listen carefully. It is very important for you to understand this distinction. One is, it is mentioned in the unusual empowerment for a particular task, which means, especially when it comes to the preaching of the gospel, or God wanted to accomplish something that is very important, he empowered his men for that particular task. And it is not just as people think second experience. This is a continuous experience. For example, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. It says very clearly, when they were all gathered in the upper room, the Holy Spirit came upon them for the first time in the history of the world, and they all were filled with the Holy Spirit. But again in Acts chapter 4 verse 8, it says that, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, these were the persecutors of Christians. These were the opponents of the gospel. And Peter filled with the Holy Spirit, which means God empowered Peter for a particular task to preach the gospel. And how boldly he spoke to these people, rulers of the people and elders. My goodness, how could Peter speak so boldly to these authorities? Because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Unusual empowerment happened for a particular task. We see that in chapter 4 verse 31. Again, Peter was there here. Again, Peter was there here. And when these apostles, believers had prayed, when they were threatened not to preach the gospel, the Bible says that the place in which they were gathered was shaken. People, listen to this. The place was shaken, not the people. Today, people are shaken, not the places. It says here that the place where they were gathered was shaken. Earthquake came actually. What an interesting thing. And what happened? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, what did happen? They were not clapping their hands, jumping, crawling on the floor. What did they do? They went out and continued to preach the gospel with boldness. What has happened here? It says that when these people were filled with the Holy Spirit, they preached the gospel boldly. If you read the book of Acts, it was especially in the context of preaching the gospel that these people were empowered to witness the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it did not happen as a second experience. It did not happen something in the past. This was a continuous experience to them. Right? So we need to understand that it is an unusual empowerment for a particular task. And I remember at times when I was preaching the word of God, when I was exposing the word of God, I could feel that I am under the control of the Holy Spirit, and I preached so powerfully that God had a great impact on people's lives. And that happens at times, that God empowers his men and women for a particular task, and they are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they preach in such a way, they teach in such a way that God will have a great impact on people's lives. That's one understanding. Is what we see. The second is a normal continuous state or condition in which one lives. Which means it is not an occasional empowerment for a particular task. It is a condition in which one lives continuously. Which means it is their lifestyle. It is their lifestyle. Now you see here in Acts chapter 6 verse 3. When the apostles commanded to appoint whom we suppose as deacons when there was problem in the distribution of food. Now listen what carefully what apostle says here. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good reputation. You know, people, this is what happens when a person is filled with the Holy Spirit. Today, people speak about being filled with the Holy Spirit, but they don't have good reputation. They are not good in interpersonal relationship. They are not good in maintaining a godly testimony. No one can say that I am filled with the Holy Spirit and their testimony is terrible. They cannot love. They cannot be compassionate. They cannot be gracious. They cannot live solid, winsome, interpersonal life. Those people are not filled with the Holy Spirit. You look at here. These men of good repute. And one of the major reasons why? Because they should be full of the Holy Spirit. Now listen carefully. When the apostle said, pick men who are filled of the Holy Spirit, he is not speaking about occasional experience. He is talking about their lifestyle. Their lifestyle should be led by the Holy Spirit. They should be under the authority and the control of the Holy Spirit. They should be men full of the Holy Spirit, which means their normal state and condition and lifestyle should be full of the Holy Spirit. Just as the way wisdom, whom we will appoint to this day. You see that? There is another understanding here. When the fullness of the Holy Spirit is used, it is speaking in the context of a normal lifestyle, continuous state and condition in which one lives. There we see another scripture also. In Acts chapter 11 verse 24. This is speaking about Barnabas. You know, whenever the Holy Spirit is mentioned, their character is also mentioned, people. You know, when it says about full of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't say here tongues and miracles and prophecies. That's not what it says. It speaks about their godly character. Because a person can walk in the miraculous gifts and all those things that people can brag about, but they may not have a good godly character. But a man who is a godly character is certainly filled with the Holy Spirit. You see Barnabas, what it says, he was a good man. People saw that godly character in him. And one of the major reasons is because what it says later. You see about Philip and Stephen also. Good repute followed by fullness of the Holy Spirit. Good man followed by fullness of the Holy Spirit. And when it is said that Barnabas was full of the Holy Spirit, it was talking about his normal state, his lifestyle, his normal condition. This is how Barnabas was. As a Christian, he was full of the Holy Spirit. As Christians, Stephen, Philip, and other men were full of the Holy Spirit. Now listen carefully here. This is what Martin Lloyd-Jones states. The difference between two kinds of filling of the Holy Spirit. Okay, we are not to expect always that the expression filled with the Holy Spirit indicates special filling for a task that comes and goes. We saw that in Acts chapter 4, right? Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. That comes and goes. That's not permanent. You are empowered by the Holy Spirit for a special task. That comes and goes. But many people think that being filled with the Holy Spirit always in that sense. So Lloyd-Jones, he was a solid man of the Bible and the doctrines, and he says here that do not expect that's the expression always used in the scripture. Now you see what it says. But we are meant to be filled with the Holy Spirit always, which is a constant condition, which speaks about the normal state of our life. Our character or our lifestyle should be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is vital that that should be established. Otherwise, there will be nothing but confusion. There is great confusion about all this. And people are waiting for an experience of being filled because they have a wrong conception of this particular teaching. Oh my goodness. He said this a few decades ago. Today it is still prevalent. There is a great confusion in Christianity, great confusion in the body of Christ. Why? Because they don't understand these two different distinctions about the spirit-filled life. Now listen carefully, people. When Paul wrote Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Holy Spirit, the second factor, how Philip was, Stephen was, Barnabas was, their lifestyle, their normal continuous state of condition was filled with the Spirit. That's what Paul intended in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18. Now here is the statement I'm making, people. This is what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit means to live fully under the control and dominion of the Holy Spirit. Let me repeat once again. To be filled with the Holy Spirit means to live fully under the control and dominion of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has full control of your thoughts, full control of your behavior, full control of your emotions. You don't live by flesh, which is another word used if you are not led by the Holy Spirit. You live under the complete control, dominion, authority. People don't think that if you take the name of the Holy Spirit often, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, people think that, oh, this person is filled with the Holy Spirit. No. That's all superficial drama. Just taking the name of the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that that church is filled with the Holy Spirit, that person is filled with the Holy Spirit. What matters is, are you in your everyday Christian life and moment living under the control and the dominion of the Holy Spirit? That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I love actually what the authors of the Bible Knowledge Commentary said. Now listen carefully, people, how beautifully they put it. Each Christian has all the Spirit. As I told you that you don't receive Holy Spirit progressively. You have all the Spirit. But the command here in Ephesians 5:18 is that the Spirit have all of Him. All Christians have all the Spirit. But the Spirit is not having the whole life of the Christian. What does it mean? The Spirit is not having all control over a Christian's life. Why? Because they don't live under the control of the Holy Spirit. They are living under the control of themselves. They make decisions under the control of the flesh. They speak under the control of the flesh. They behave under the control of the flesh. But the Bible tells that as a Christian, we are commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So when we are talking, filled with the Holy Spirit. I was praying today morning, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. What do I mean? Which means, Lord, take complete control of me. I don't want Stephen to dominate me. I don't want myself to dominate me. I don't want others to dominate me. I don't want the world to dominate me. Spirit of God, you take control. You lead me. You guide me. You empower me to live my Christian life. So whenever we are praying, fill me with the Holy Spirit, don't expect some emotional drama. That may happen if God wills. People, when you are praying, fill me with the Holy Spirit, expect Him to sanctify your character. Expect Him to conform us to the likeness of Christ. Expect Him to use us to crucify the desires of the sinful nature. Expect Him to fulfill His sovereign will and purpose in our lives. That's what it means to have the Spirit of God having all of the Christian's life. You know, I love the way the old NLT, New Living Translation says, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, let the Holy Spirit fill and control you. That's what exactly it means. To be filled with the Holy Spirit means let the Holy Spirit control you. Don't be in control of your life. Let the Holy Spirit control you, dominate you. You know what are the other phrases for being filled with the Holy Spirit? The other phrases for being filled with the Holy Spirit is Romans 8:13 to 14, which says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Do you know, people, that the other phrase used here? Led by the Spirit. You know, some people think that led by the Spirit means hearing some inner voices, experience some goosebumps and some miraculous manifestations. That may happen actually when God wills. We have no control of that. We have no idea of that. But when Paul is speaking about Romans 8, when he said led by the Spirit, he is speaking about crucifying the deeds of the body. When you are critical towards someone, when you are led by the Spirit, that critical attitude will become compassionate. When you are gossiping, when you are led by the Spirit, you stop gossiping and go and talk to the person directly. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit, you don't sit before that computer and television and watch pornography. You will rise up and crucify the deeds of the body. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will not behave harsh with your spouse. Speaking harshly as wife, behaving in a submissive way. As husbands behaving unloving way, that's not what happens when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You will be a loving husband and a submissive wife, and because you are led by the Holy Spirit, that's what it means, people. Today's people don't think in this way anymore. It's all about anointed services. It's all about emotional, you know, experiences. It's all about ecstasies. It's about all about feeling. I'm not getting a feeling. Don't feel. Be led and die to sin. That's what Paul meant when he said, led by the Spirit of God, because you will put to death the misdeeds of the body. Oh, we entertain so much sins in our lives and we expect some kind of emotional ecstasy of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has not come to entertain you emotionally, but to sanctify your character. Are you understanding, people? Holy Spirit is not existing to entertain you emotionally. He is not a spiritual entertainer like the movie actors. He is the sanctifier. He wants to put yourself to death. He wants to change your character. He wants to break your hardened heart. That's why he is called holy. He is not called bubbling spirit. He is not called jolly spirit. He is called Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is holy. And when he comes into the sons of God, daughters of God, he sanctifies them. He makes them holy. Galatians 5:16 uses another phrase for being filled with the Holy Spirit. But I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Do you see that? Walk by the Spirit and you will not live by flesh. That's another phrase used. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, walk by the Spirit. This is what, people, living under the control of the Holy Spirit is what Spirit-filled life is. I want to close here with a word of prayer. The next Sunday I will be mentioning how to be filled with the Holy Spirit and what happens when a person is filled with the Holy Spirit. I thought I will cover this also, but I saw the time that it is an hour time that I have been speaking, explaining to you. I think I don't want to go beyond the time. I will continue the message the next Sunday. But my dear brothers and sisters, there is so much of confusion in the church today. You might have read some books, you might have heard some wrong interpretation of the Bible and all these things. People have been confused about it. I have been confused for many years. But when I gave myself to proper understanding of this, I praise God that he has used the Spirit of God to teach me a balanced understanding of what it means to be a spirit-filled person. So let us all seek to live a spirit-filled life because we are commanded. And let us all be men and women who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this afternoon time. Thank you for clarifying so many misunderstandings people have regarding filling of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we pray for our church, which you bought by your blood, that every brother and sister be filled with the Holy Spirit, because there is no option for us to live a non-spiritful life. To be a Christian means we need to be spiritful. Not just pastors and teachers, but every child of God, every brother and sister. Pray that you please to create in us that hunger, conviction, desperation, that we must seek to live a spirit-filled life. Pray that you forgive us, O Lord, for grieving your Spirit. Forgive us, O Lord, for treating the Holy Spirit as an emotional entertainer. Forgive us, O Lord, for treating the Holy Spirit as a liquid or a thing. Forgive us, O Lord, for grieving the Spirit by our sins and works of flesh. Oh, we pray this afternoon, fill me, O Lord. Fill us, O Lord. Every moment of the day, every day may we long to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we would become Christ-like, so that we would crucify the desires of the flesh, and also that we would preach the gospel boldly and not be ashamed of being your children. Heavenly Father, please to take complete control of our lives. Let Jesus be seated on the throne of our heart. And let the Spirit of God reign our thought life, reign our word life, reign our heart, reign our emotions, reign our decisions, reign every action of our lives. Oh, let the Spirit of God reign us. May we die to all hypocrisy, die to all interpersonal conflicts, die to all works of flesh, die to all the worldly boasting, worldly lusts, worldly pleasures, worldly material possessions. Die to all. Oh, may we be men and women who are full of the Holy Spirit, who are kingdom-minded, who are concerned about the message of the kingdom, who are concerned about reflecting Christ as the salt and the light of the world. Heavenly Father, We pray that you please do remember what your Son had done for us on the cross. And we pray that you remember what you have commanded us. And it is not we who can fill ourselves, Lord, only you who can fill us. So we pray this morning that you fill us, satisfy our hunger, and make us men and women who are led by the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this doesn't happen just because we prayed now. Let this be our continuous state and hunger. If we simply offered a prayer and think that we are filled, Lord, that's a deception. No one can do that. It's something that we have to constantly seek every moment, every day. So we pray that you make us hungry for your Spirit, hungry for your mighty control of our lives. Please to lead us and use us for your glory. Make Ecclesia Evangelical Fellowship a Spirit-filled church. A Spirit-filled church. In the name of our beloved Savior who loved us, gave his life for us, who continually fills us with the Holy Spirit, we offer this prayer with thanksgiving. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message. We believe you have been greatly encouraged in your heart. Stephen David also writes articles that are relevant to today's generation. You may read them on his blog, www.messageforourage.blogspot.com. I repeat, www.messageforourage.blogspot.com. You may also email him at cstephendavid@gmail.com. I repeat, cstephendavid@gmail.com. Grace and peace be to you.